Good morning. Yeah, it's a wonderful day. Sunshine once again, and a little bit cool, but not too bad, huh? So it's wonderful to be here with you today, getting into the Word of God together. This is actually a very powerful passage, if you already haven't noticed that, about how God works, and He works in amazing ways, and nothing is impossible for Him that is outside of His character. So we just give Him praise for that. This morning, as I was preparing, and I was going, wow, you know, talking about stones and rocks and things like that. See, I love stones and rocks. In fact, I get in a lot of trouble with stones and rocks. And that's why I didn't bring any today. Because I was thinking, oh, I should bring some of our river stones in here. And, you know, but then it's better I didn't, because I like skipping stones and I like throwing stones at certain things, and so it's not good. But, you know, it's interesting how they talk about stones in the Bible, because there's a lot of mention of stones, isn't there? You know, they get the stones and make a big altar, right? You set up an altar, a memorial, big stone, whatever, how tall it was, I don't know. They would build them with stones and uncut stones. I remember still that they had that part when Jesus was riding in on the donkey into Jerusalem, and the Pharisees were shouting down other people who were saying, hey, this is the one, this is our king, you know, and they say, hey, be quiet, quiet. And Jesus says, hey, if you keep them quiet, these stones are going to yell out. You know, so the stones are kind of important. And, you know, they're especially in the days of old, or if you go to other countries, stones are pretty important for building. And that's something we're looking at today, because, you know, stones can be obstacles, you know, something big, and you got to get it out of the way, and it takes maybe a big bulldozer or dynamite, whatever, to try to get rid of it, or somebody rolling a stone away. And also, they can be great building materials for people as well. So we're looking at that today. And, you know, it kind of goes back to where Jesus was talking about, I think it was in 1 Peter in chapter 2, they're talking about Jesus being the living stone. And his church is being a living stone. We are living stones. Kind of a funny thing to think about, isn't it? That we're living stones. But, you know, what does that mean? And then, you know, when he's building into us, what does that look like? And we have a great picture, you know, with Martha here in this passage of what it looks like, the master builder, Christ himself, the wise builder, who has begun a good work in Martha, and how is he going to build into her these stones, into her faith, to strengthen her faith. And I really believe it will help us in our own walk, too, how he is building into our lives, our faith, these stones that are so important to that. And also, there might be also be stones to roll away, to be moved out of our lives as well. And Christ is certainly able to do that. He is the one who makes us his handiwork, right? We're his handiwork. We're his masterpiece, as they called that. In Christ, we are created to do good works that he planned long ago for us to do. And so he's building. How does that look like? So we're going to be looking at that today together. Let's pray before we move on. Father, your word is powerful. It is living. It is active. Lord, we just ask that you'll cause it to come alive now. For each one of us, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll encourage and challenge us and strengthen our faith. Lord, give us faith, Lord, and a faith that isn't just an ordinary faith, a supernatural faith that helps us go through the ups and downs of life. And Lord, so we just give you praise and glory for this opportunity to come together as a family in Christ to hear what your word has for us today. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we just ask that your name be glorified and his word will go forth true. Pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So first of all, we see the setting. Here's Jesus. He's finally in Bethany. There's Martha. He's with his disciples, and there's Martha and Mary in this area. There's a lot of people gathering around the family who lost their loved one because they just do that. And they're close to Jerusalem, only 2 miles away, they say Bethany is. So you got a lot of people coming in. They might have a lot of people they knew, a lot of friends, and people even just coming because they know about grief and they want to support the family in this time. And so there's just, as you can see, it's kind of a hodgepodge of people, right, in this place, and how, you know, Jesus is stepping into this place here. And I don't know about you, for builders, people who build things, you know, resources are fairly important. You know, you have to have the site, first of all, to build. You have to have the materials. You have to have a blueprint of what you're going to build, and then you should have manpower to help build that, or some type of power that you're going to use to build that building. And so we're going to see Christ in this this whole area. He's going to use this whole situation, this circumstance, for his glory. So remember that? He mentioned that way back there. He says, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So he waited 4 days, right? The messenger got there. There was one day. It looks like if you put that together chronologically, it looks like as Mary and Martha sent off that messenger to go to Jesus, Lazarus must have died right after they sent this messenger off. Because it took about a day's walk for them to get to Jesus. And Jesus says, well, I'm going to sit here for 2 days. And then it took him a day to get there. And Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And so, you know, there's a Jewish myth, I guess, or I don't know what you want to call it, superstition, that they say that when somebody dies, you know, they hover around the body for 3 days. They still got a chance to rise up because they remember the days of Elijah, you know, and things like that, people being risen from the dead, stuff, you know. So they're going, oh, 3 days. They still got a chance. And so they would comfort the family during that time, but it wasn't full out mourning. But on the fourth day, they say there was all out mourning because that's it. This is day four, and anything after that, that's it, man. He has no chance of coming back. No wonder why Jesus waited 4 days. Huh? You ever think about that? Why did he wait? Okay, well, that might be a fairly decent answer there for me anyways. So here you got this situation. And we see when Martha hears that Jesus is there, and she rushes off to him, and she comes before him and says, Lord, you know, Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died. But then she comes up with an if statement, all right? Then she goes a but statement. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Is that something? So you can kind of hear her heart. So this is a hard situation. Put yourself in it. You know, a loved one just passed away. It's very difficult. There's grief. There's suffering going on in this. And she's trying to reconcile it with her faith and her hope in Jesus. And she, you know, and if she was anything like and understanding like what the disciples, and they probably heard this too, Jesus he didn't even have to be there to heal Lazarus. But, you know, they sent the message in hope, you know, they're hoping, you know, Jesus would, you know or do something. Even, you know, he's sovereign, so he would even know even before the messenger would get there what's going on. So I think there's, you know, in her heart, there's a little bit of a disappointment. There's an unmet expectation there. She knew that Jesus has the power to heal, right? She knew that he didn't have to be present to do that type of healing. So there's probably this thought here that even though you let me down, Jesus, I still believe in you. I still believe in you. And you know what? And even now, I just believe that God will do whatever you ask. So there's belief. Have you ever been there? I believe this, but then there's something in there kind of going, really? Really do I believe? See, that song is a beautiful part where it says you're held up to the flame. You're held up to the flame, and then you really see where your faith is. You really see it then when you're being proven, when you're in that stage of grief and suffering in your life, when it's so painful. Where's your faith? Some people run away. Some people lose it, if you can lose it. And that's a whole nother theological debate. But when that flame is held up to you and you're being consumed by it, what's left after you're gone? Does your faith remain? See, so I don't know about you. There's many times I believe in things. I'll say things. But then if you really checked me out and went deeper with me, I'd be going, well, I don't know. maybe God will help me this time. I don't know. Yes. Have you been there? Would you agree to that? Are you with me? Yeah. I believe this. What, do you really believe? Yes. We've all done this, all right, at one point in our life, in one situation or another. Jesus loves this. See, here's a building stone that he's, you know, because one of the most important things that Martha did, what did she do? She heard Jesus was there. Did she run the other way? Did she just sit there and go, Jesus, I don't care about him? No, she ran to him. One of the most important building blocks that he builds on is when we run to him with all we are, with all we have, with all of our grief, our suffering, our joys, our pain, our fears, our unbelief, our doubts, our distrust. And we bring it all to him and we just lay it out before him. If, but, and he's going, oh, it's so wonderful to have you here. Yeah, I'm going to build into that. He's going to take that and he's going to make it a building stone of faith. It's rock solid because we came to him. First important building stone of faith that he builds in there. Then it comes up, the next one, here we go. Jesus, here we go. We know Jesus, he just says things, right? He asks questions or he just says things. Because then he's got the torch going on. Have you had to handle a welding torch? He's just sparked that up and then he's coming right up to the metal of our faith. Let's see what you got. Because he wants to test us. He wants to prove our faith. He doesn't want it to be weak and broken and crumbly where it doesn't have anything, any impact in anybody's life at all. Where you barely get into the kingdom of God like a burning stick just because of his grace salvation. No, he wants us to be pillars, strong in a faith so others can see this and God will use us to draw people to himself. So he lights it up, and he says, your brother will rise again. And now she's going, woo! Yeah. And, you know, she does a good, she's very theologically sound. Did you know that? Because her answer is wonderful. I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Yeah. A plus, bing! It's kind of like in Sunday school class, hey, they ask a question, all you do is shoot up your hand and go, Jesus, and people go, oh, yeah, Jesus this, Jesus that, yeah. All right, same thing here. Here you go. She has in her heart, and she heard this. She believes it, but she's going, yeah, then. Not now, Jesus, but then. See, can you see where her faith is? Yeah, I know theologically, yeah, they say this is going to happen then. Now? Don't even go there. Don't even go there. Right? I don't know about you. I've been there with God. You can't do it now, God, but later on, yeah. Later on, you could do that. Yeah. Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, you can change my heart. Yeah, but would you do it later on? Because I kind of like what I'm doing now. Yeah, kind of like that. And Jesus, you know, so he's building. You know, he's building in her something called a new reality. Because, you know, she has faith, but the faith is, you know, it's just, it's growing. It's immature yet for this situation. And remember now, she's got grief and suffering going on in her life. And it is colliding with her faith and hope. So you can understand, you know, if we were in Martha's spot, we would be, I don't think we'd be doing much better. In fact, you know, I don't know if I would have gotten an A+ on that response. But he's working on her, and he's given her a new reality. Because a lot of times we live in a very conceptual world. Oh, yeah, I believe this. I think this. We have a tendency to live through other people's lives because our lives just aren't doing that well. Or we just can't play baseball as well as the Dodgers. You know? So we got to live through their lives. Right? And cheer them on. I spent $100 for that ticket. Yeah, I'm part of this. Yeah, you could be a part of that. Paying their salaries and $70 million a year. Whew. What do you do with all that? Give it to missions. Give it to church. He's creating a new reality in her. He's got the flame on that metal. Now he's shaping it and changing it from what it was to something even more beautiful and useful than ever before. Oh, it hurts. Oh, you might not want it. The flame can woo. Take you, yeah, I can get a little cinchy, but then, so she answers this question. I know. How many times have you said, I know? And then you take the test and, oh, I didn't know. Yeah, oh, oops. And then the teacher says, did you study last night? I go, yeah, for 5 minutes. And then, there you go. All right, there you go. Will knows it well. Hey. We should do this. We should study together. Yeah, it'd be a quick study, wouldn't it, Will? Five minutes, that's all we need. Yeah, and then Mike's going, when do I get to prepare? So then, you know, then, so you got all this going on. So you know what? When people say, when Jesus says that you are forgiven, oh, it's very conceptual for a lot of people. I'm forgiven. And you just go, la, 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 la. No, and then when you're held to the flame, you're going, am I really forgiven? Then you act like you're not. Well, you know what? Jesus says that you're forgiven, so the reality is what? You are what? Forgiven. You're forgiven. When he says that you are a son of God, you are adopted into his family, what are you? You're a son of God. And there's, Joy had this one, I wanted to bring that paper, and I forgot to bring it, about the identity that we have in Christ. You know, we are his sheep. We are free. You know, we are redeemed. And a lot of people just, you know, they just talk these words, but they don't really live it out. See, that's the difference between concept and reality. So you can say it and think it all you want, but when you don't, when the rubber meets the road, that's when you see it. That's when you see it. So where are you? Where are you? So then Jesus, he gets the pile driver out now. Because now he's going to build in her the cornerstone. Remember how important that cornerstone is? This is the big part of faith. Because now he's going to do an I am. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Boom. I am the life and the resurrection. Jesus, get out of here. A lot of us be going, what? What? Come on. This is a bold statement, isn't it? It's a bold statement of his deity. He is God. Because he cannot be the resurrection and life if he was not the one who created it. He wouldn't have any authority or power to do anything. But when you go back to chapter 1 of the book of John, and you look at verse 3 and 4, it says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was what? What? Life. And that life was the light of mankind. You know what? All life is pinned on Christ. And that's what he's really saying. I got this. And then Jesus, why do you keep doing this? You put her through another test, just like us. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the life and the resurrection? Because you got to live it. And she's, you know, Martha's going, whoa, he's just throwing this big old cornerstone. She's going, whoa. And I believe by God's grace, she just answers this. I think it's like a situation like Peter, where God just gave him the answer to that question. You know, he says, oh, yeah, you're the Messiah, son of the living God. Well, I think this is the same thing when Martha responds. She says, yes, Lord, I do believe. You know, and it's kind of like a continuous, like, I have believed, but I'm still believing. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Pow. A-plus response. Good theology. She's got again, Jesus. There you go. Answer's good. Johnny, A+. Here's some candy. There you go, right? So everything's looking good. You know, working these things out in her heart, building on these other stones, and then he puts the cornerstone into where she can start to, ooh. Yes, but then, and then, you know, we can go through, I'm going to kind of skip through Mary, because Mary's got another thing going on. This can be talked about another time. Mary, but you know, she has the same question as Martha, right? If, oh, not a statement as Martha did, you know, if you were here, my brother wouldn't die. And then, you know, Jesus through some emotions and things of that coming up. And then here in all of this, as Jesus asks Mary, says, well, where did you lay them? Where did you lay Lazzy? Where? And then they say, come and see, Lord. And there in verse 37, listen to this. It says, 36, it says, then the Jews said, see how he loved him? Because he was weeping with them, right? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Well, then here's always the doubts. Here's always the opposition. Here's always that test. Here comes another flame from another area. Yeah, couldn't he have done that? You know, all these stirrings of doubt and distrust and fear and disappointment all coming up again, and all mixed into the grief and suffering of life. And there's hope and there's faith. And sometimes we just let all this stuff just overwhelm the hope and faith. See, the torch is shaping that metal, and all of a sudden the torch gets, you know, something just shuts it off. You know, some big sand or dust storm comes in and blocks it out, and it overwhelms that piece being shaped. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nothing can stop his work. The wise builder, he is all powerful. nothing thrown our way can keep him from shaping us into a beautiful, useful tool in his hand. Because then he goes on, and he doesn't care about what these other guys says, because he's there for them too. He came there for all these people too, these onlookers, not just the disciples and Mary and Martha, but this, he's here, he came there for them too. And he said, take away the stone. Can you believe that? Can you even picture that? Have you ever been to to a place like that where, you know, there's a sealed tomb? And they say, hey, open it up or take away the stone or whatever. And not just to go in and look and go, ooh, this is kind of a neat place, ooh, like that. No, so life can come back. Where death is overcome by a more powerful being. Calling the dead back to life. Roll away the stone. Take it away. That stone, get it out of there. Get it out of there. What's in our hearts? You know, a lot of times it's unbelief or it's just self, right? Me, myself, and I stuff. And we just need to take that stone and just, but we can't do it on our own. See, we try to get the little chisel out and we can get a little bit, but we can't roll it away ourselves. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in to help us roll that big old stone out of the way so we can get out of that tomb that we put ourselves in or that deception of the evil one that's kept us so clueless of who we are in Christ. We live a life of defeat, of self-pity. Because we don't believe in the one who is a life and a resurrection. Or if we have it, we have a little bit of belief. But it's not going to help us through those tough storms in our lives. And we're going to barely escape just by his grace alone. So, roll the stone away. Martha should be going, yeah! I don't want, but and she's not going, yeah. She's going, wee! Jesus, if you do that, it's going to smell like Sam's locker, you know, with all the shoes. Sorry, Sam. I could have picked on Don. Maybe it's better to pick on you, right? Jesus, don't do that. Come on. The resurrection later on, last day, is better. Because now my faith isn't on the line. My belief isn't on the line. There's a big risk here. If you can't do this, then you are not God. You are not the one who I believed in. And you said, ooh, boy, have you ever had your faith tested like that? This is it. Elijah on the mountaintop, Mount Carmel. Oh, 800 prophets calling on their God. Nobody answering. It was on the line. His faith was on the line. He was trusting and believing in God all this time. Now it's online, and now he's going, God, would you please do it? No, he just went out there and got the altar all set up, put the water, all tons of water on. He says, God, if you're the real God, show them. Boom. Boom. Lazarus comes walking out. See, they rolled the stone away. And Martha's going, man, is this real? is this really going to happen? No, it can't. Yes, please. You can hear the father of that son, that boy that got healed, you know, trying to get healed. And say, oh, Jesus, yes, I believe. Oh, help my unbelief. You can hear, you can just see that in her, can't you? You could see that in yourself, can't you, in those moments? Where is he going to heal? Or is he going to provide for me during this time? Or am I going to get this job? Or my friendships and my relationships, I need guidance, direct, all this stuff thrown out there. Do you believe? Well, I tell you, and all this building and these stones in our lives, and the cornerstone comes in, and we are just saying, Jesus, you do what you do. You do what you do. Lazarus comes out. I don't know about you, but Martha must have been going, oh, yeah, oh Jesus, he just blew it out of the water. Woo! You know, I don't know. Was she dancing? Mary and Martha dancing around? I don't know. They're probably just sitting there going, he is real. I got a feeling that's what it was. When the Dodgers won the World Series, that last pitch by Walker Buehler, beautiful curve, sinking curveball, the guy struck out. And it was kind of like, I sat there and went, Dodgers actually won a World Series? It's real. It's not just conjecture. It's not just their hopes and dreams. It is real. Just like cutting my hair, nice shape pretty soon there, Matt. It'll be real. I just dream about it. Think about it a lot. I have great concepts of Tom Selleck-type hairstyles and things like that, but or a Frank hairstyle. That could be okay, too. That'd be all right. But the concepts, all the dreams, all the hopes, all that.
I'm not going to scream.
They come real because he is the life and the resurrection. Death has nothing that can hold back what he's going to do. If death, or one of our greatest enemies, can't hold Jesus from what he's going to do and bring in people to life, nothing in this world can stop us. So get off the conjectures. Get off the concepts. This is reality. This is true life. This actually happened, and it's happening even now. When people receive Christ in their life, there is the life and the resurrection going on. The impossible. And yeah, people say, well, are people being risen from the dead today? Yeah, we hear about these miracles. Somebody's dead and they go over there and they pray for them and it's alive. Yeah, it can still happen today. But this was done, Jesus said, so that all they may all believe. Everybody. That's what he's after. He's after our hearts. He's after that's a building stone for those onlookers. Now they got a stone, a faith starting to build in there. And what they're going to do with that, I don't know. Okay? That's between God and them. But, you know, now the disciples are going, yeah, this is the guy. Again, he proves himself. And Mary and Martha going, wee. And Lazzy's going, what? I was having fun up there. Now I'm down here with you guys again. You know? And so you have all these things going on. So questions. Just something to think about for us. You know, have we come to Jesus with everything we have? Have you? Have I? Well, if you want a building stone of faith put in your heart, come before him with all you are and all you have. Just come to him. Let him build on it. Let him get his welding tool out and start and putting us together. You know, another one, have we opened up our eyes to the things that he has created around us and his word and just trusting his word, you know, to where it is actually not just something I believe in conceptual form, but it's real. And I'm going to walk in it, just like we're saying that what Sam read with Isaiah 30. You know, they're all over the place. They're doing their own things. They're going to the left and the right, and they hear a voice, the teacher behind them saying, hey, yo, this is the way. Walk in it. Stop turning to the left and right. This is the way. And if you look at what Jesus' words are, he says, I am the way. So walk in it. What's holding us back from the tomb? I mean, in the tomb there, we're all clothed, all those things wrapped around us, you know. A lot of it is a lot of things we've experienced, the doubts, the all the unmet expectations, all that stuff. We just got to just say, hey, God, you know what? Even if things aren't going the way I expect, I know you're God, and you're my life, and you're the one that's going to raise me up to a new life. And I'm going to put my hope and trust in that, and I'm going to walk in it. That's the way to walk in. Roll that stone away. Walk in freedom. So, you know, this is what Jesus, you know, before all this, and Thomas there in verse 16, and they're going to go on to Judea, and, you know, they're afraid to go there. And then Thomas goes, let us also go that we may die with him. Now, whatever attitude he said that with, I don't know. But Jesus is looking for all of our hearts to be solid rock, solid, and by his fix, it's a cornerstone, and to know that we can have this true attitude, this real life understanding. Let me also go that I might die with him. That's the type of faith his goal is for us, that we're willing to give up everything in this world that becomes a stone that needs to be rolled away, and that we can walk in the way of Christ in freedom and hope, even in the grief and suffering. Even in the grief and suffering, may it become even more clear for us, and that we can be those who will honor Christ with our lives, as Lazarus did, being a wonderful witness. And we'll talk more about that next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Your word is powerful. It is powerful. It is living. It is challenging. But good. Good. Light the flame and shape me. Yeah, I know it hurts. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to roll that stone away. I've kept it for so long. I'm so used to it. But you're saying, take it away. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll take it away. Lord, may we walk in a truth and a hope and a joy of Christ Jesus, even in the difficult times, even in the great, wonderful times, the quiet times, that we'll always know and hear your voice that this is the way and we can walk in it. Empowered by you and for a reason, a purpose of being a light to others, so they can find the way to you as well. Thank you for this word. We give you praise and glory for it. In the name of Jesus Christ and all those people say, amen. Amen.